Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. What would you sacrifice for another person? Parents talk frequently about the sacrifices that they make for their children. Sacrificing their time by spending it with their children. Sacrificing their money to buy things for their children instead of the things they would want for themselves. Perhaps sacrificing their own dreams and aspirations in order to care for and provide for the children that God has blessed them with. What would you sacrifice for someone else? History is replete with stories of soldiers sacrificing their own lives for their comrades. The 300 Spartan warriors at Thermopylae sacrificing themselves to delay the Persian invasion. A Viking who stood on a bridge and hacked down his attackers for an hour to buy time for the rest of his unit to prepare for the battle. A soldier who jumps on a grenade to save the lives of his squad mates. What would you sacrifice and for whom? Now, to offer something as a sacrifice means that the one for whom it is offered is more important or more valuable. If I'm willing to sacrifice some of my time to spend it with someone, that means that I consider them to be valuable or important to me. If I'm willing to sacrifice my money to purchase something, that means I consider that object to be of value. Consider the parable of the pearl of great price. The merchant considered that pearl to be so valuable, more valuable than everything he owned, and so he sold all of his possessions to purchase it. Or perhaps it means that I consider the person for whom I purchased the thing to be more valuable or to be of value. There is a lot that you can sacrifice. You can sacrifice your time or money, of course. You can sacrifice yourself. You can even sacrifice your own life. But for whom would you be willing to make these sacrifices, or would you be willing to make this kind of sacrifice? I'm sure we all want to say that we would make a sacrifice for another person. I mean, of course, that means something different to different people. I remember seeing something on Facebook a while ago saying that when guys say that they will do anything for their wife, what they mean is that they would take a bullet for her. Not that they would watch The Notebook with her. Of course, the flip side of that would be the wife who complains to her husband, "You always say that you would die for me, but you never do." For myself, I would be willing to sacrifice just about anything for family or close friends. I'd be willing to give quite a bit, though maybe not necessarily my life, to help someone I know who might otherwise go hungry, for example. I'd be willing to give up my time and energy to help someone who's stuck on the side of the road. Probably. Maybe. Okay, perhaps we're not quite as altruistic as we would like to think, and that is the point that Paul makes in verse 7 of our epistle reading, when he says that one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. Are we that righteous person? Are we that good person? Is there anything inherent in you that would make someone want to die for you? Are you a good and noble person? I think we'd all like to think that we are good and noble, at least most of the time. But if you've ever driven past someone who was stuck on the side of the road, that starts to wear thin. If you've ever procrastinated, that starts getting called into question. If you've ever had a hateful thought, maybe you're not quite as good as you want or as you think. We are not as good as we'd like to think we are, or as we perhaps believe ourselves to be. Are you a righteous person? If you have ever broken a single one of God's commandments, you are not. If you've ever wanted to break one of God's commandments, you are not righteous. If you have ever failed to help someone in the way that you can, you are not righteous, not in God's eyes at least. The fact of the matter is, when we look a little deeper at ourselves and at what God commands, you are not a good person. You are not a righteous person, at least in God's eyes, and neither am I. None of us are righteous or good or noble in God's eyes by ourselves. In your own eyes and in the eyes of others, yes, you may very well be good, noble, righteous, but God sees more. God sees deeper than we see or than others see. God demands absolute perfection, not just in words and deeds, which is what other people can see and judge by, but in thoughts as well. I may never have acted against the fifth commandment. I may never have murdered someone. I may never have even said that I wanted to murder someone. But that doesn't get to the heart. That doesn't get to those thoughts which condemn. You sin in thought, word, and deed, just as we confess at the beginning of our service, and so do I. You sin, we all sin. We are born in sin. We are all sinners. And that is our state from the moment of our birth, sinful. Psalm 51, David says, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Not that he was born from any sinful act, but because he himself was sinful from birth. There is nothing about you to make you worthy of God sacrificing something as precious as his only son for you. That is the case but for one unassailable fact: God loves you. You were a sinner, but Christ died for you. Period. Full stop. Christ died for you. You were in open rebellion against God because of your inherent sinful nature, but Christ died for you. You were unloving, you were unlovable, but God loved you nevertheless, and Christ died for you. You were unrighteous, but the righteous Son of God sacrificed himself for you. How great of a sacrifice is this which God has made for you? You were unlovable, but he loved you anyways. Your sin made you worthless, but God created you, and so to him you are priceless. The price of our salvation was exorbitant. The death of God's own perfect Son, and he paid that price willingly. How incredible. God's love for you is absolute. God's sacrifice for you is absolute, so much greater than anything we can comprehend. Christ died for us. He has reconciled us to himself so that we can be his people eternally. He gives the life of his own son so that we might have life. He makes us righteous and holy by his sacrifice so that we are free to live the righteous and holy lives, free from the accusation of sin which he desires for us. And so to return to the question I asked at the beginning of this sermon, what would you sacrifice for someone else? The answer is very simple. Not as much as Jesus sacrificed for you. Jesus sacrificed everything, even up to his own life, to make you his own and to reconcile you to himself. And so we honor his sacrifice when we receive his true body and blood under the bread and wine of Holy Communion, such an incredible gift which strengthens and encourages us as we live the life which he has won for us by his great sacrifice. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, unto life everlasting. Amen.